Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN. Then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500. All right, DGens, welcome back. It's your boy, Boston Capper. I'm here with Matt Gannon tonight. We're going to break down the Wells Fargo DFS card. What's up, Matt? How you doing, buddy?
What's going on? I love doing our shows like once a month. DFS is not, this is new, so happy we're... No, I mean, it's not new, but new to...
I know what you mean.
Us. Yeah. Happy to be here.
Trying to diversify that portfolio, man.
Yeah, for sure.
That's all we're trying
for
to sure. do for you. How'd you make out last week?
Last week was right, like literally one of my worst weeks. I mean, I kind of faded the top. So what happened when you fade the top? They finished 1-2. You're not going to do well when that happens. But I mean, not going to win every week. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I talked Steve off of, you know, on the betting show. And he's not happy with me right now. So
what was your case that he was sold?
No, just fuck it. Oh, I know. So I didn't even look at that anymore, which is fine. But no, it was just like, do you really want to bet Finau at 8-1? Like, is that fun? It's not fun.
No, it's not fun. Not fun.
It's not fun. It's not
fun. I mean, it's fun. It's fun if you win, but like, it's not fun.
Right. Exactly.
I got you.
Yeah. But I mean, you throw down a couple $100 on one golfer in a tournament. It's, I mean, look, it played out the way everybody thought it was going to play out. Ridiculous, but it is what it is. We're on to Wells Fargo, man. Fuck
on to Wells Fargo.
So last year was at Potomac. This year, we're back. So I think I confused that this morning when I was doing the outright idol with Cam. I thought it was 2 years ago, but it was last year. It was Potomac. So pretty interesting as far as that goes. You got any outrights yet?
Yeah, I bet Patrick Cantlay, actually. So
I was going to ask you about him because I know you're a fucking Cantlay guy. So
I became a Cantlay guy. So
why? Just because everybody hates him?
Like, honestly, that's a reason, but like, I just can't. I'm going to bet Patrick Cantlay through the Open Championship. He's going to win, I think, at least once. And it's not like I'm only betting Patrick Cantlay. I'm still going to have a card. Yeah. But like, I just will get so mad if I miss Patrick Cantlay. And I've taken a firm stance, too, on him. Just so I know this isn't a betting show, but I'm betting Patrick Cantlay, and I'm firmly, because you look at all the stats, like he's the best player in the world, not named Scottie Scheffler or Jon Rahm, like stroke gain wise. So I'm just riding the Cantlay train. The putter's going to catch up to that ball striking sooner than later. So
all right. So it's Bermuda greens, right? Which is not his best surface, right?
No,
that is his best. He's played here once and missed the cut. Does that?
Yeah. I think he played here.
Worry you a little bit?
Like it does. I don't feel great about it, to be honest. But I just can't like back down from Patrick Cantlay. But this is by far the best form he's ever been into. Coming into like this is truly some of the best form of his career. So
yeah,
I don't really care what golf course it's on. This is he's a guy who can contend anywhere for the most part. His game looks good on paper anywhere, which is a scary thing with Patrick Cantlay. That's why
except Florida.
That's why everyone bets up not Florida. Yeah, so that's why we bet him everywhere. So I don't know. I'm just going to keep riding this Patrick Cantlay train. I got a 14-1. That's probably the best number you can. I'm not sure if that FanDuel number is still there. It was down to 12. I saw most spots, but I hit that 14 like 8 o'clock this morning or whenever it came out. So
you text BK to do it for you.
No, I got another boy back in Jersey to do it for me. So he's like my proxy from back home. So I hit that 14 on FanDuel, and I didn't make anything else besides that.
So what's funny is like I'll throw a one and done pick in because I missed like 2 weeks, and so like immediately like Monday morning I'll just throw a one and done in, and he was my just throw it in, and but then I was like, all right, let me take a look. I don't want to bet that fucking number because I don't like it that much. And I looked into it, and it just scares me that he only played here once and missed the cut. Like I know he's in good form, but I don't know. It just makes me nervous at that number. And what's his ownership at DFS?
I don't think he'll touch that Rory number or even
Rory's gonna be Uber Chuck.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fuck it. We're already in the 10K range. So Patrick Cantlay is your guy. And what are you doing with Rory? I mean,
go ahead. I don't know if I'm gonna like play him. I might just eat that Rory chalk because just like Patrick Cantlay, he's a win is coming. I think a win is just as soon for Rory McIlroy. And even if someone's chalky, if they win, you're gonna have to play him. And at what was he 11-1? Yeah, 11-1. Yeah,
so they didn't even make it difficult to make a lineup.
Yeah, it's not that difficult to make a lineup. And this isn't the greatest field ever in an elevated event. It's like a regular Wells field. And Rory's dominated this event for his whole career. Yeah. So, and who knows? The putter's been a problem. He went back home to Florida, 2 to 3 weeks off? We know he's been working. So, and he's a guy who's not just going to back down when everyone's like, Rory, you kind of look like a coward. So, which he has. So, I don't think he's the guy to back down. He's got to firmly stand up to that. I'm the face.
I was talking about on this morning's show. I was like, look, there is consideration to be made where I might just bet Rory and call it a fucking day. Because what more Rory thing would there to be for coming off two missed cuts, goes home, takes a couple weeks off, gets his head together, comes to a course he fucking dominates. What's his worst finish here in the last 5 years? 10?
You know what I mean? Something stupid like 62, that.
Yeah, T16 in 2018. But it's no fun, right? And so I'll probably end up betting the same losers I always bet in the 20s and fucking lose my money. That's how it works. So
if I wasn't so obsessed with Patrick Cantlay, I would have went single bullet Rory just because I'm usually not scared to bet the top of the board and just go like single bullet or just two man card.
Yep.
But I don't know. It's the Patrick Cantlay thing, but I'm going to play Rory heavy in DFS because I bet those both two. My card at the Masters was Rory Cantlay. Like I love both of those two guys. I obviously can't fit them both here, so I would say pick one or the other in bet. Whether that's betting DFS, I would say like they're both very good options. I mean, obviously they're the top two priced guys.
Well, I mean, obviously. I mean, think about it though. So like Rahm was like fucking like 40% owned, 50% owned, 60% owned in some of the higher stakes shit last week, and you know, it started and it looked like, oh man, fading Rahm was the move. But at the end of the day, it was not the fucking move. So maybe keep it simple, stupid, right? Fucking play Rory in DFS and maybe leave him off your bet.
Yeah, if someone's 65% owned and they win the golf tournament, you need to play them.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least he needs to score enough because, then, I mean, if he's 65% owned and he wins, then it's a 5v5. And then, it's just, you almost. If he gets up to like 40 or 50, I think just gameplay game theory rather, you want to fade him just because of that, right? So if half the field has the fucking winner, now you're 5v5 and you're going against, you know, whatever size contest you're in. Meanwhile, if he doesn't do well, then you just wipe the field out. Or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like 50% of the field out. So I think as far as like game theory goes, unless you, man, he's a scary fade though, but I don't know, whatever. What are you going to thoughts on anybody else up here? Finau coming off a win or Xander? I don't want anything to do with either of them.
I don't know. I feel like in this past 2 years, everyone would have just not played Finau coming off of a win, but people are getting smarter because guys play well even if they win, even though they're like, oh, I don't want to play a guy who just won. And same thing when we get to Matt Fitz. No one's going to want to play him off the win. But I think people are getting smarter, and they will. I think both of them are great plays. You look at what's a golf course you want Tony Finau at, a place that you need to drive the ball long and straight. And I know he hasn't had great results here, but it makes sense on paper. So I think Finau, it's going to be interesting to see how this 10K range sorts out. Xander Schauffele, I would say no more than 12% owned because he's struggling with the driver. And I don't really understand that 10-7 price. Is DraftKings sharp for making him price like that? Possibly. I know he finished that backdoor top five at Harbor Town.
Yep.
Not really a comparable course, but it's going to be interesting to see how Shoffley just plays this week.
Yeah, so I think the thing that's keeping me, it's not about Finau winning last week. It's just the course history here, because you're right.
Yeah, like, it's very weird.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Cott, T60, T21. I'm pretty sure I had money on him in 2021 when he missed the cut. Because on paper, he looks like he should do it. And then, yeah, I mean, I Xander, he's. I think I'm just done with Xander for a little while. I think I need a little break. He's just, I don't know, man. He just doesn't seem like he's got that dog in him. Do you know what I mean? Like, he just doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But yeah, I think I'm just going to pass on him. And I'm passing on Cantlay just because. I don't like him on Bermuda. I don't like the fact that he's only played here once and missed the cut. Everything you said about his form is 100% correct. I mean, the guy is on fire. You know what I mean? Yeah. Look at the ball striking numbers, DK scoring. He's number one in this field with DK scoring off the tee. Yeah. So it's a scary fate at Cantlay, especially since he was like my first initial reaction to put in one and done. But you can't, you can't play two of these guys up here. So I think I'll just end up eating
especially
the
with this field's not, I said it's not the strongest field, but it's still a strong field. You can't play really two guys up here. You'd have to get really crazy down the bottom.
Yeah, you gotta get
it's not like last week where the whole field was basically 6K players, so you could do whatever you wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not like last week.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, listen, before we jump into the next range, Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. And not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you also get a chance to win 500 bucks. Shady Rays got you covered. From the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. They offer the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost or broken replacements. If you lose or break a pair, even on day one, they told us they'll send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. So wear your Shady Rays with confidence, because they get your back long after your purchase. If you don't love them, you can exchange them for a new pair and return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And so go to ShadyRays.com, use promo code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Then take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Shady for your chance to win 500 bucks in the Shady May.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Contest. Yeah, and listen, they're all polarized. Matt, you live down here in Florida now. There is nothing more worthless than a non-polarized pair of sunglasses, especially living in Florida. And so you might as well not have anything on your face. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah.
I might hit
that offer. I'm not even a big sunglasses guy, but it's a nice offer.
You have to be. How the fuck can you live down here without having sunglasses?
I don't know. And I have light eyes too. I just don't wear whenever I get sunglasses, I just never wear them. I don't know why. Oh. I truthfully don't.
Dude, I can't. Like, so I got blue eyes and I can't. Like, I literally can't. Like, I die. Like, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I will go out and buy a pair of sunglasses.
Like, if you don't have them, you'll just get shitty sunglasses.
Yeah, that's it.
Need them.
Yeah, like if I'm on my way to the golf course and I fucking forgot my sunglasses, guess who's paying double the money at the pro That's shop. Me. This guy.
You probably have a lot of random sunglasses scattered around your house.
I do. And my kids take them and they break them. My daughters steal them. So they're just like sweatshirts.
Yeah. Same thing. Exact same thing.
Yeah. I went looking for my Bruins sweatshirt the other night, fucking before the game. It's just like a long sleeve tee. And it's in my fucking daughter's room. I'm like, what are we doing here? Like,
burn. At this point, just burn it. You don't need it anymore.
Worthless. Not taking the cheese of that fucking team anymore. Gutless Jokers. One cup in 51 years. One cup with these fucking teams. And and then I saw Anderkurs was on him. Everything was going against him. President's Trophy, Anderkurs. Yeah. Fuck it.
Sunrise,
fucking Florida. Unbelievable.
In fucking hockey.
That hand pass thing that cost us the game was a fucking joke. Hit the brush finger.
Yeah, I saw that. I was kind of confused because it wasn't intentional.
As you should have been. Correct. Yeah. And what's funny is in the rule book, you can see, I don't know, some crazy Bruins fan went and found the rule. And they clearly didn't have to call that. It was fucking ridiculous. But NHL whatever. Rich. We're on to just paying attention to golf, and I guess I'll pretend like I'm a Celtics fan if we win a championship.
Yeah, who cares? No one cares about the NBA. No one cares about the NBA.
Yeah, I don't care. It's such a terrible product. Sorry, Munaf.
The worst.
all right. So the 9K range is where my typical losers are, right? Where I'm like, I can get behind this. What do you think about Spieth? So the same reason why I didn't like Cantlay. Spieth has no course history here, but this man was a stud in the President's Cup.
Yeah. And Spieth is close. And I'm honestly happy he didn't win at Heritage because I would have been upset if I missed that Spieth win. Because I've been, before I got on this Cantlay kick, I was all about Jordan. And I'm just hoping it doesn't happen until Colonial because I'm going to bet him at Colonial, even if he's 6-1. Like he won't be, but I'm going to bet him there. I don't really see this as a Jordan Spieth course, but he's became someone who performs everywhere. Just how he performed at API, you got to drive it long and straight here. You got to drive it long and straight at some courses he's contended in.
He's not short anymore.
No. He's became long.
And other than Cantlay, I would say, I don't care what the strokes gain data says, but as far as what's he got? 1, 2, 3. He's got 4 top fives in his last 6 events. And he's got 5 top tens in his last 7. Like, that is a fucking crazy run. He's right there. And one of my locals still had a 2 in front of his name. So I snapped at that this morning.
You grabbed Jordan. Yeah, and it's sometimes, you said, just keep it simple. Don't even worry about course fit. Play the guys who are playing good golf. DFS betting, Jordan Spieth playing good golf. Okay. A 2 in front of his name, not the strongest field of the year. Can Jordan Spieth win this event? 110%.
Yep. I love it. 110%. What are your feelings on Max?
I am out on Max. He will be highly owned along with Victor Hovland. They will be the chalk of this range. Max Homa has not hit his driver well since the players.
Yeah.
Since the players. Yep. He's not hit his driver well, and you need that here. And he's done that here. And he's done that at TPC Potomac. Wherever it says Wells in front of it, Max Homa performs.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe he'll get back to that driver. I haven't seen it, so how can I back that?
Agree.
This is the lowest he's ever been priced in the Wells Fargo Championship, or highest ever been priced, I mean.
Right.
So I don't want to buy that, especially when the form's not really there. Because when Max is a guy who shows it, you see when he's playing well, and now he's playing bad. You can see it coming. So I'm off that. Victor Hovland, I don't hate at all. He makes sense. I don't hate it, but I'm gonna go with Colin Morikawa in this dynamic.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know he's gonna be playing out of the fairway, and it just is a matter of can he have a +7 iron week, and he's really good from the 175 to 225 bucket range. He's obviously one of the best iron players in the world. We know he's going to be out of the fairway. He doesn't got to make 25 birdies, and he's priced at 9.8. Combine him being the highest priced golfer, one of the highest priced golfers in the 9K range with Max and Victor eating up the chalk. Colin Morikawa is going to go under the radar for sure.
I think Vic is going to be the highest owned guy on the slate.
I agree.
Yeah. I think I'm done with Hovland for a little bit. I just can't.
I'm not gonna.
I can't, man. His meltdowns on Sundays, or it's just his nonplussed efforts on fucking Sundays. I just can't handle. I thought it was a good sign last year when he made the final group, at the Open and then just didn't do anything with it. I was like, well, all right, great. He's got experience in the, was he in the penultimate group or was he in the final group? I can't remember.
At the Open, he was in the final group.
Final group with Rory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Cam won second. Just,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so like, and then he did it again at the Masters, and the around the green shit is not fixed. And then, dude, he was missing so many fucking putts. I know that'll come back because he typically he's a good putter, but yeah. I think the guy you mentioned earlier is a great pivot, Fitzpatrick. I mean, if Vic's gonna get all this ownership, you know, spend the extra $100 and move up to Fitz and get a nice little pivot. I prefer Fitz over Sungjae. I'm just never a Sungjae guy. I just don't trust him. And yeah. Like I said before, I don't care if Fitzy's coming off a win. Like, he should play well at this course. And I hate Fitz. He is my least favorite golfer. Like, I don't like to look at him. I don't like to hear him talk. I don't like to watch him play. I just don't like anything about him. But I think as far as like a DFS play goes, I think his game should work here. Yeah, I think he's a natural pivot off of Vic right there.
Yeah, he found something at Augusta with that swing, with the ball striking, and I was very hesitant to touch him at Harbortown. Obviously, he went out and won there. He needed 1 week to get back into the groove, and he did it. And just like last year, he was a top 10 machine just when he started going, just gaining four plus strokes off the tee every damn week. So if he's back to that form, I know he took him a while to win, but he obviously won at the U.S. Open, won again this season. He's with the Live guys leaving, he's kind of solidified his top 10 world ranking.
No, so, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's a golf course where it's driver heavy. And Matt Fitz coming onto the PGA Tour was not an elite driver of golf ball. And that's now what he surely is now. Yeah, for sure. Yep. So I think he's a good player.
Well, that's what pisses me off about Fitz, too. Cause I was, me and Steve were talking on the show, and I was debating between Hovland and whoever, some other loser who was at the like a 28, or I could have got a 30 or whatever it was at with Fitz, and I was debating between those two, and I picked the fucking wrong one. So maybe chasing a little bit, but yeah, it's the worst. Guy, listen, golf betting's hard, guys. That's the bottom line. I guess unless you're willing to eat the chalk at the top of the board every single week this year, it seems
in 2023 you have to.
Hey, man, I hit Rom at the Masters. I don't give a fuck. So I ate it that week. All right, before we jump into the rest of the ranges, we are also brought to you guys by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania 4 is here. Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes, plus plenty of other ways to win with the NBA, NHL, and MLB. Their player prop parlay. Head over to underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And it is Kentucky Derby week in the notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network for all of your Triple Crown bets. Plus, leave a review of the show wherever you get your podcast between now and the Belmont, Saturday, June 10th, and you'll be entered into a drawing to win a canvas print of the Wolf's one-of-a-kind Fallen Bob painting. It's post time. I like the Derby. I don't know dick about horses at all, nothing. But I do listen to that dude who we bring on, Super Shop, and like I bet like the pre-races and all this other stuff. And the only other guy I listen to about horses is Wiley, and that's it. Those are those
he
two
knows
guys.
His shit.
Yeah, man, I just blind bet both of them. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, like, it's the one day to care about horses of the year. You got to make the best out of it. Like, you don't doesn't matter. You have fun. I always bet some random horses, act like I know what I'm talking about to my friends, and then hopefully one of them hits. Yeah.
Yeah, I love talking myself into a horse that I've never seen race or know nothing about. I'm like, oh, it's definitely going to be Bob's Silent Show or whatever. It's like, okay. All right, dude. all right, so we'll go into the 8K range. Oh, I was going to say something else. What the fuck was I going to say? Oh, the Underdog. Do you do the best balls?
No, I don't do any of that stuff. Do you?
You don't do any fantasy? Oh, no, fuck no, I don't do best balls. No, absolutely not.
No, I don't do any like prize picks, Underdog Fantasy, anything like that. Just DFS and betting.
Okay. So, do you do any like fantasy football home leagues or anything?
Oh yeah, I do fantasy football, but not like best ball or stuff like that. Yeah.
I can't wrap my head around best ball. I missed the boat on that one, and I'm like, that's too late. I'm good. I got enough shit.
Yeah.
But Sean and Kramer fucking love that shit. Fucking Ryan does like a 24-hour draft every year. He stays awake for 24 hours drafting these things. He's a fucking maniac.
That's insane. It's really insane.
It's a maniac. All right. So the 8K range. Oh, shit. Where'd it go? All right. There we go. So this is always This is it. This is always the most interesting, like, range, right? Like,
yeah,
it really is. Like, because of the way everybody builds, not everybody, but, you know, the masses build. They go 10, 9, maybe they get to a low 8, maybe. But most of the time, this is like the forgotten range. And this has a very strange name in it. Justin Thomas at 8,900. That is crazy. And I think it's fair. If not, maybe.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Like, yeah. Justin Thomas is like the only guy that I could say is blacklisted from my betting card. It was Xander Schauffele and Justin Thomas, but like in my brain, if you top five somewhere, you're off the blacklist. So Justin Thomas is still on that blacklist. But what that means in my stupid brain is that if you're blacklisted, I play you in DFS no matter what. So I'm going to play Justin Thomas no matter the form, no matter how much he keeps dropping because
okay. –
We just know that he's Justin Thomas. I'm not going to give the whole spiel. Everyone knows Justin Thomas is Justin Thomas, but it can happen. And he's going to be – he was sneakily highly owned the last time he dipped this low just because people wanted to bet it. I mean, wanted to play it. I feel like there's going to be a week where he just really low owned and then he just pops.
I don't know. I mean, he looks like the second highest owned guy other than Cam.
Yeah, so we'll see.
It's, I mean, people see the price. They see the name. Yeah, I can't get there with him, like – he's won twice in, what, 2-3 years? Like,
yeah.
It's just, I mean, yeah. And the betting number really frustrates me. I'm like,
what is it now? I saw it.
He's like 21.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Truly
ridiculous.
Guy's
won, it's fucking absurd.
Didn't he win the PGA here, right?
Yeah, he won the PGA here. It was like 2016, 17. I'm bad with fucking remembering years and shit. I was bad before COVID and then after COVID, like, fucking forget about it. I feel like shit that happened 2 years ago was like 3 months ago. Especially since we didn't shut down in Florida.
So I wish I was here then. But I was in the worst state.
Yeah, we had a rough 6 weeks of shutdown down here. It was pretty bad. We were drinking at bars fucking like 2 months later. It was ridiculous.
I was stuck in my damn house for a year.
Yeah, I felt so bad for all my family and friends back in the Northeast. I was like, oh man. So yeah, I'm just going out to the bar. They were like, what? I was like, yeah, it's going out to the bar.
Oh my God. Living in New Jersey and Baltimore in those years was like the worst thing. Like the worst.
Oh yeah, definitely. All right. Anyway. All right. So you're gonna play Jay-Z. I'm gonna pass him just because I don't believe in his game. Everybody's darling community bet of the week. I even threw like $50 on it just in case Cam Young does win. I want to be a part of the community win. But I mean, it was a different course that he came in second at, right?
Yeah, I know. Some people might not know that.
Yeah. So different course. He's gonna win eventually. We keep saying, right? And I guess it happened with Willie Z too. You know, obviously played great at the match play. At the Heritage and good at the Masters. Like, I don't know, 20% owned. I think I'll pass on him in DFS. And I mean, the guy right below him is such a natural pivot, and he's been playing better than he has. And Sam Burns, 8,600. If it's sub 10%, like, I think that's a really good DFS play. Long and straight. It's Bermuda. Like, I don't understand why he's sub 10. I don't know if he'll stay there. As the week.
Yeah, and Sam Burns like figured out that driver too, and it transitioned right into a wind early, and that's what you need here. Back to the Cam Young thing, like the ownership makes sense, even though it was at a different golf course last year. This is a golf course made for Cam Young.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah.
Like 110%.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm probably not going to be a part of the Cam Young thing because I love when he's chalk and then just does not do anything. And
trolling.
He went on that run in the summer where he was really chalky, then went to shit, and then no one played him at the Open. He was like 2%, and I like hyped him up so much, finished like top three. So I'm going to take a backseat to Cam Young because we know it's going to be some time. He's going to be chalky up until Rochester. Then maybe I'll hop on him once that time passes. But
once that time passes? I like it. I'm naturally contrarian as well, man. So that's probably why we get along. As soon as everybody likes somebody, I'm like, fuck that dude. He sucks. I like Burns. I don't want anything to do with Hatton here.
I want Hatton. I'm against you on there.
Do you? All right. So I'm typically a Hatton guy. I mean, he played well at courses he doesn't like, the Masters. I expected more out of my RBC. I think the betting number is fair, but I just feel like he's right next to Burns. I just feel like Burns is such a better play.
Yeah, I don't see Tyrrell Hatton winning this golf tournament. He always is sneaky, like has some sneaky ownership, kind of like Corey Connors, just like a guy that's so consistent, like, and he'll be like T30 to T40 like the whole tournament, that have a good round Sunday and finish like T11, which is like a solid finish in DFS.
Yeah.
He's the seventh ranked total driver of the golf ball in this field, like 11th on tour, I think. And the iron numbers are okay once you get, like, he's better with his mid to short irons, but the long irons are okay. Gainer on Bermuda, not the best, but I just feel like the driver can only make his ceiling so low. Yeah. He's going to play out of the fairway. He's going to be long. I'm hoping. What are you seeing his ownership at right now?
Still sub 10. I don't hate it either. Like, I think objectively, I would much rather play Burns. And that's just it. Like, I'm not playing two of these guys. I mean, listen, if I'm making 20 lineups, but if I'm doing single entry and I'm picking between Burns and Hatton, I'm taking Burns.
Yeah, I feel like you have more volatility with Burns, but like you have winning upside with Burns versus Hatton. It's like, I feel like you're
going to get floor. Yeah, high floor.
Exactly. Yeah,
high floor. What do you think about Sahith this week?
Sahith is a guy who like never really makes sense anywhere. It's either he pops or he doesn't. And I'm on Sahith when the number is right and when people kind of forget about him. Unless it's the only time I'm kind of gearing up for him is I'm going to play him at Rocket kind of no matter what, because you can like drive it anywhere there. But he's performed at golf courses that are really tight and performed at golf courses that are like really wide. And he's just so volatile in like a good way. So whenever he gets chalky, I'm just no Sahith.
Okay. All right. So I thought of it in this way. Like, listen, if we think Cam Young's going to win soon and we think Sahith is going to win soon, this is more of a betting thing. Like, why wouldn't I just bet Sahith every time I bet Cam?
No, that makes sense. People probably think Cam Young is better, which, like, he very well might be. He's got better performances in majors, but they're both similar age. They both have, I wouldn't really say a similar style game, but they both have, like, winning equity and have shown to be at the top of the leaderboard in big events. So no, I agree with you, and you're getting a better number on Sahith. And if he wins before Cam Young, no one will be surprised. They'd be like, okay,
no one will be surprised. No, exactly. Surprised. And you're getting almost 2.5 on the betting number, right? And you're getting a third of the ownership, right? So you're paying $500 less. So that's something to think about too. You a Fleetwood guy?
No.
So I used to hate Fleetwood, and then I started liking Fleetwood after he was pretty self-depreciating after being first round leader at Sawgrass. So
you bet him that you bet him there?
No, fuck no. No. Oh. Dude, that's what I still like. I still didn't love him.
Yeah, I was like, that'd be a crazy bet.
I have a thing against most British golfers until they prove to me that they're not scumbags. And like in his interview, like made me was like, all right. It's a pretty good interview. I can't hate the guy. And so I started betting him and been using him more and things like that. He's always a good first round leader bet, but
yeah,
I don't think I can get behind him here either. He does have a top 15 here, but there's only so many guys you can play, and I'd much rather play Sahith for $200 more. The 7K range is fucking huge. Give me like three guys you like, three guys you hate, whatever.
It's so
huge.
And there's so many guys that like make sense. I mean, I don't know how Matt Kuchar is $7,900 at this golf course in this field. I mean, 2021, he's got two top tens like in the last 2 years. So I mean, last 3 years makes sense, but it's just feels like it just doesn't make sense in this event. Keith Mitchell is going to be really chalky.
Oh yeah.
You play Keith Mitchell where you play Rory McIlroy, you don't have to overthink that, but he's going to be so chalky. But there's so many guys that I can see.
But there's good reason for him to be chalk, though. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Mitchell will be chalk. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like in this range, I'd want to get so contrarian and just play like the guys who aren't long and straight. Just play like the fairway finders, the Adam Hadwins, the Denny McCarthy's, just like those random guys who won't be highly owned at all, but like will play out of the fairway and have the top 10 equity. Because I don't want to play the chalky Wyndham Clarks.
No.
Who, they're bombers and they make sense. And they can hit it along and straight at Quail Hollow, but I don't know. They don't always pan out, and I don't want to play a chalky Keith Mitchell, chalky Wyndham Clark. I feel like that's going to be the buzz of the week in this range. So I might get contrarian down here.
I wonder if Wyndham Clark's going to get lower ownership because he had such a bad Thursday. He grinded it out. I mean, I'll give him credit for that. I took him as my one and done. I didn't even think
me
I didn't
too.
Realize, I didn't realize as he made the cut until Sunday when I saw him on the leaderboard. I was like, what the fuck? I thought he missed the cut. I mean, listen, whatever, 30 grand doesn't make a difference. But I wonder if he'll get a little credit for that. But yeah, I mean, him and Keith Mitchell are sitting right next to each other. I mean, how much ownership is that little spot going to suck up? And Keegan too, right? Like, I love Keegan.
Yeah.
And, like, he makes sense here.
Yeah.
I mean, he makes sense here. Long straight, great long iron player. Like, I don't know. His form's not the best right now. So
I honestly wish Keegan didn't play so well last year.
I had a ticket. That was super fun to where he gained like fucking nine strokes putting and still somehow lost the fucking tournament.
Yeah, I had a max ticket. I was there last year. That was fun. That was fun.
Oh, that's right. You were. That's right. Yeah. Fun for you, miserable for me. Yeah. So I mean, out of this, I want to know how chalky Gary's gonna end up being. Like, I don't know if he might just be. Yeah, I think he's gonna be. And like, so I think if he's gonna be chalky, then I'll probably skip him. Patrick Rogers looked good, man. He's looked good his last three events.
It's tough for me to ever get to Patrick Rogers because when he makes sense is the times he disappoints you. But this isn't a field where like he's like, all right, like those Patrick Rogers 20-1 weeks are the weeks that like everyone's like, oh, it's his time at the Bermuda Championship. And then he's like,
right, exactly.
He shoots even par in round one and then like backdoors a T15.
So, exactly. So Cam this morning brought up to me Cam Davis. And I initially poo-pooed the idea, but he looked okay at Heritage. He looked good at the Players. I don't know what the fuck happened to Valero. His style of play fits this course.
I can see it.
And he's going to be sub 10 right around, you know, Griot's chalk. You know how those weeks work out. Griot chalk always works. Griot's in good form too. That's fucking wild. But I'm not betting or playing Griot.
No.
Hayden Buckley sub 10.
I like Buckley. He actually might be a bet for me. He's literally not winning. He's not winning. He's literally not winning. It's a wasted money. But like I'm probably gonna play him or bet him. But back to that Cam Davis thing.
Yeah.
When he was sixth at the Players, it was like he gained 8 strokes short game, and I was like, all right, like this is just not what you want out of Cam Davis. Right. But he really fixed whatever happened. He gained 7.7 strokes ball striking at the RBC Heritage two weeks ago, which is what you want to see out of Cam Davis. I know he said he was like sick or whatever, and now he feels better. But this is what you want to see from Cam Davis, and he's trending in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he fixes around the green shit too. So
yeah,
that's pretty. He still can't putt, but I always play guys who can't fucking putt, so that doesn't change it for me. All right, so you're on board with Buckley. I don't know. Like when you get down to like the low sevens, I think they're right back to back. Ben Martin and Justin Suh. Justin Suh is looking like sub 2%. And this dude has just been
making upside
fucking cuts, man. Even if he doesn't have the upside. I mean, his DK score is not bad. He's relatively long. He was atrocious at the RBC, but prior to that, 45-6, 24th-5th, 40th-20th for 7,100 for a guy who can score. Like, yeah, I mean, dude, he's like top 35, I think, in DK scoring, like at 7,100.
Heading into the Valspar, he was the chalkiest, most bet player. They're not that different of golf course. They're really not that different.
Yeah, no.
So
I'd agree with that.
He was literally the most hit player and like one of the chalkiest players, like Justin Suh chalk week, which is just crazy.
Exactly.
Obviously didn't pan out, but
no.
If you liked him there, there's no reason you shouldn't like him here at this ownership and price.
Yeah, the ownership's super, super low. And I figure, man, you see somebody down here that's that consistent at 7,100 that can score, right? I mean, the name of the game in this is DK scoring, right? So you gotta score. And 34th in this field, very shocking. So he can easily outscore his position as well. Even if he comes in, you know, 29th, but if he makes a shit ton of birdies and doesn't get himself in trouble, like, I like that. No. I like Ben Martin too. Still sub 10. I don't like his upside as much as Sub, but he's another, you know, steady Eddie. He's just wicked short, which worries me a little bit.
Yeah, he's a guy that always models out well for me.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. You going back to Akshay?
Akshay.
Akshay.
Yeah, I mean, I bet him in the tournament he shot like that 62 in round two eighth, something like that, in the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. Like, no.
I was impressed. Impressed. So, like, I never really watched him too closely, because when Twitter golf gets on a guy and just starts slobbing on his knob, like, I immediately get my back up and I'm like, oh, Christ, dude, how many golf shots have you seen this guy actually fucking hit? I credit John Hasselbauer to ruin my life that way. I had him on the pod one time and I was talking about Justin Lauer, and he was like, how many golf shots have you seen him hit? And I was like, oh my fucking God, like five. Why do I like this guy so much? It's like, you just ruined my life. But dude, I was impressed, man. Listen, played good on Sunday in the big boy group, man. I liked it.
Good golfer. He'll win eventually.
Yeah, he'll definitely win. Sam Stevens is so chalky. What am I missing?
He's just a sick iron player. Just won't ever buy that chalk. And it's just those names that you kind of hear in the 6K range, and then they burst out of it and everyone's on them.
Yeah.
I'm not claiming I was ever on Sam Stevens and would have ever called that. Right. Like it happened. I was on Tano Goya a bunch this past fall and early whatever. And now he's got super chalk and upper 6K range and wasn't really panning out. When that happened, it happens every single year. Yeah. So you just, when this happens, just don't buy it.
Don't bite. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look at his results, man. I mean, they're pretty back and forth, man. It's pretty wild. Like, how young is this kid? Is he like early 20s?
Sam Stevens, let's see how old Sam Stevens is.
Because, I mean, he goes from miscut, third, second, miscut prior to that, 15th miscut, 34th, 13th, 67th, three miscuts, 57th. Like,
he's like 27.
Oh, all right. So he's not even like young. No, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Yeah, I'll pass. So, like, yeah, because when I'm like, wait, who the fuck is this dude? Because I think I heard somebody talking about him. Maybe it was the Heritage. I heard somebody talking about Valero too. I don't know, but I was like, "Who the fuck is this dude?" And I do this shit, and I'm like, "If I don't know who you are, like, then I'm either slacking or I missed something." So like, what did I miss? But yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, he was crazy. Third and second in Corrales and Valero back to back weeks.
Yeah, and he comes out pretty high in my model too, and that's what really stood out. I was like, I don't really know who you are. Like, I know your name. So I shat on Pendrith last week. I was like, fucking horrible play. Why would anybody play this fucking bomb? Blah, 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 blah. And he comes out and I fucking thought he was going to be first round leader and I was going to lose my fucking mind. But I mean, listen, he still looked like he fixed a little something longish, squirrely off the tee still. I think I'm still going to pass on him though.
Yeah, I bet Pendrith last week and I was.
Did you?
Yeah, I was pretty high on him going into last week just because the form wasn't there, but the golfer profile and the shitty field made sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously didn't pan out. He didn't end up, he had a one good round and it's kind of finished that T30. He had one good round, but I don't know. I don't love it here. You can't really just go as bombs away. You can't spray it here as much as you could last week. So he didn't even hit it that good off today. He lost a stroke and a half today. So
yeah,
I'm not there yet on Pendrith, especially in this better field, but I would bet him again in Mexico just in a second.
I guess.
Even if.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, even Scam Champ came through last week. So Brian in the chat wants to know why Keith Mitchell will be chalky. Keith Mitchell will be chalky because we're back on Bermuda. He bombs the shit out of the ball. And he has two top tens here out of his last three appearances. And he's, you know, fairly priced. Came in sixth at the Genesis, which isn't like a comp course, but kind of is. So, yeah, Keith Mitchell will definitely be chalky. Plus, any guy who has a pulse and you can get like a 90-1 on him on a betting card will translate to DFS ownership because they bet 90-1. They're going to put him in a DFS lineup.
Look at all the courses Rory McIlroy has played well in his career. Keith Mitchell has probably top 10 there. CJ Club at Summit. Wells Fargo.
Steve's head's going to explode when he hears this shit.
Even the Royal St. George's, not the Canadian Open one, finished top 10 there, was 54-hole leader at the CJ Cup that Rory won. And there's another one too. That's just like so crazy. I mean, they're both elite drivers. So
it's just funny because Steve gets, I'll even do it just to rile him up. Like if it's a ROM course, you got to play Palmer. And he just fucking... starts twitching. Gotta play Palmer if you're playing fucking Rahm. What are you talking about, man? All right, so this is your range, right? And I don't want to blow up your article or anything like that. So maybe give two guys you like dumpster diving in the 6K range.
All right, I'll start off with Will Gordon, and it's simply just because he's a cut maker. He ranks 11th on tour in total driving. That's kind of what you want. I'm taking the driver narrative this event, and he's a guy who's kind of faded on the weekend. But if you're gonna do that in the 6K range, rather be on the weekend than coming out the gates like shit. You want a guy who can get through the cut. So I would go with Will Gordon up at, I think he's 6'9". And then I'm seeing Toasty's going to be really chalky again, which is hilarious because he just came through last week. I do not get that at all. And then besides that, if you want another guy at all the way at the bottom, dumpster diving,
come on,
relying on the driver, Brent Grant at 6'3". All he does is drive the ball long and straight. Not really good anywhere else, but he's just like, I'm not sure if I'll get there, but he's just, it's still early and on a Monday. Brent Grant at 6'3", absolute, one of the best drivers on tour, swear to God.
Yeah, it's funny. I have him stat, and the only other guy I have stat underneath him is Duff Daddy. Only because he's got good course history here. And he made fucking like four or five cuts before he missed the cut at the.
He made a lot of cuts before that, and the ball striking numbers were there. I was all over him that week, and he sold me.
Yeah, and it's just like I don't know what the DK scoring is going to be there. I know Carson Young at 6,100 seems like he can make some shit fit. Obviously in good form with RBC in Mexico.
Might be too cheap. Yeah,
I think he might be too cheap. And then the only other two guys that I like in the 6K range. What's funny is I had Toasty highlighted for you, highlighted because I had to ask you about him. Like, did you see that routine that he was fucking doing?
Oh yeah, I tweeted that. That shit was insane.
What? Yeah, I saw that. It was fucking nuts. Like, I don't even like. Did anybody ever get a fucking explanation?
I really don't think so. People were like replying to my tweet, like, "What is going on?" I was like, "I literally
don't." I don't know either. I don't know. I was hoping you'd tell me.
Yeah, yeah, crazy. He came out of nowhere. He's a Florida guy. He went to UF. I don't know.
Oh, did he go to UF?
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. What do you think of Dylan Wu? Another guy who is fucking just steady fucking Eddie, 6,700.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, that. Like, he was not, I mean, he's playing good. He's playing good. And I don't think he's playing. Well, what would his brother have been priced right now if he was in this field? Like 7'2"?
No, probably more than that based off of last week.
But so his brother's probably better, but Dylan is like. He's had some good results. Yeah. I don't think he's quite the player like of this. He's way better short irons than he is with his long irons. I don't know. He's never played here before. Yeah, not for me.
That's fine. All right. I just saw that, you know, nice steady Eddie. Like T35 of the players is respectable. You know, 10th at the Honda. Like, it's fine. Like,
no, there's definitely worse plays. There's definitely worse plays than him.
The only other asshole that I have down here is Harry Hall. I don't know if I'll actually get to him.
Yeah, he's a bomber for sure. But that's kind of it. Yeah, I don't really.
Yeah, he putts well on Bermuda, but I feel like
he's actually really good at putting. Wow.
Yeah, he's the one who taught. He told Ashkay to do the
aim point. Yeah, I saw that.
And so I was on the only reason I even know who this asshole is. I didn't know who he was prior. I don't remember what it was. I don't know what tournament it was, but all of a sudden it looked like he was going to steal first round leader money out of my pocket. And I saw him with his fucking scally cap on. And I texted Steve. I was like, who the fuck is Harry Hall?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is this asshole? And that's how guys like that get on my radar. And then I start betting them. But yeah. All right, man. Well, you got anything else?
No, I think that's it. We'll definitely have some more stuff later in the week. We got, yeah, just right here on this Golf Gambling Podcast channel. We'll have a $5,000 betting show. We'll have a 6K range DFS show. I'm thinking we'll have a Wednesday narratives and interview final thoughts DFS show. Probably my favorite show to do, but
I love the events.
Smaller events, they don't have a lot of interviews. So like there was like one interview last week, so I didn't even do the show. This week, I will definitely have some more. I'm interested to see what Rory has to say. Interested to see what Patrick Cantlay has to say. They're going to ask him some slow play questions for sure. But that'll be Wednesday. And then, any questions, you know where to find me.
Yep. Hit him up on Twitter, man. He's a good follow. The other than that, Steve will be back tomorrow night for the betting show. He should be well rested from his like 10-day fucking vacation down to the Outer Banks. So we'll pick his brain tomorrow night. You guys know where to find me at Boston_Capper on Twitter. And let's fucking go.